On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Logan, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. Our guest today is independent agent Patience Noah Fuller, the principal of Patience Noah Insurance in Framingham, Massachusetts. She's very involved as a leader in several associations, including the Big Eyes Diversity Council. Welcome, Patience.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Peter. I am so happy to be on today to have a great conversation with you. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, I don't think we actually met in person, but I saw you speak at the Big Eye Legislative Conference last April on a panel. I think it was on, was it on women in insurance?
Discussion? Yes, yeah. Correct. Yep. Women advocacy.
Women advocacy. Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And so I thought maybe we should have a chat because I love success stories. And you were very authentic. I don't know you well, but it seemed like you were very authentic and explaining your background, your journey through insurance and, you know, the pros and cons of some things you've been through. And so that I thought it'd be fun. You know, we haven't done one of these in a while, and I thought you'd be a great guest.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, when you're doing these things, you never know who's in the audience. So,
oh, yeah.
But when I got that email, I was like, oh, okay, sure. Why not?
Tell me about it. You never know, right? So you own an independent agency. So when you were growing up, like, talk a little bit about that. Were you thinking I always wanted to own a business one day?
Well, honestly, yes, I did wanted to own a business someday in the future. So it was going to be between either something healthcare related or something in the beauty industry, because I went to a vocational high school and I graduated as a cosmetologist from high school. I went and I got my license. So I did hair for a while. I still do hair on occasions. So I was either going to own a salon or something in the beauty industry. But of course, as life will have it, you plan and then obviously something happens along the way. I discovered the insurance industry after college. And I worked for a few years in the industry. And I said, hey, why not, you know, start a business in the insurance industry? So, but there was owning a business on my bingo card at some point in my life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you could always insure beauty parlors and there's a lot of stories of people who have a love for like collector cars or there's so many, you know, wine. I love wine, and all of a sudden they have a program that specializes in that. And
exactly. And it's not too late for me to own a salon, so right, I don't have to operate them directly. So
yeah, that's right. You never know. Yeah. So how did you get here? Like, talk about your career a little bit and the early years and what led you to where you're at today.
Yeah, so I graduated from UMass Dartmouth. And when I graduated, obviously the year that I graduated 2013. And the job market was a little bit difficult. I graduated with a marketing degree. And initially, I wanted to do advertising, but they didn't have it at UMass Dartmouth. So I landed on marketing. And after that, I was looking for jobs. And I spoke to a mentor of mine who recommended for me to get into the insurance industry. And I remember asking him, what's that? And he was like, well, you go and figure that out. So I went on Google, did my research, and I got my first job in insurance sales at an agency at the time in the Boston area that had a branch in Southboro. So I worked out of the Southboro branch. And I started off in personal lines. So we got licensed within the week of being at the agency. And then we trained for about a couple of weeks, and then they got us on the floor, and we would make hundreds of calls a day. And at the time when we started, we were using this technology that once you get the lead, it will automatically call the client. So by the time you get to the client, the system had called the client like 10 times back to back to back to back. So you're speaking to an angry client and you have less than a minute to try to keep that client on the phone with you. And I love the aspect. It was a competitive environment, and I did track in college, and I did basketball in high school and ran track in high school as well. So I had that competitive nature in me. So being at a place where we have to compete, and then at the end of the, I think at the end of the day or the following morning, they announced who the highest person on the floor was, in terms of sales. So I love that aspect of it, and that drew me to the industry. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I like this. I stayed with the company for about 6 months. Obviously, it was intensely competitive, but I knew that I enjoyed what I was doing. And then I ended up moving to the sales, I mean, to the service side at Hanover. And I worked at Hanover for some time. And then I decided to move on to Willis Towers Watson. By this time, I was comfortable that I wanted to do insurance for the rest of my life. And I wanted to build a career in it, and I wanted to leave Massachusetts. So I decided to move to Connecticut, which is the insurance hub. I don't know if they're still the insurance hub, but I knew that there was a lot of opportunities in Connecticut. So I decided to move to Connecticut. Initially, when I moved to Connecticut, I worked at a small commercial lines agency that was owned by a couple. And primarily, their clients were oil, like anyone who was doing oil and truckers and things like that. So I enjoyed that because I saw service firsthand, and it was a smaller office. And I saw the dedication that they had to the business and how the wife ran the business and how the husband ran the business because they were a tag team. He was out doing the sales piece, and she was doing the service piece, and we were assisting her with that. So I really enjoy that aspect of it. And I think by this time I had decided, okay, I'm interested in this. I want to own this business someday. So let me go and learn other sides of the business. So I moved to Willis Towers Watson, worked with Willis Towers Watson in the personal lines for a little bit. And then I moved on to Travelers as a marketing rep. And then while I was out there as a marketing rep, talking to agencies, and of course, while I was out, every time we go to meetings, they were talking about longevity. They were talking about succession plans. They were talking about what the industry looks like the next 10 years, what the industry looks like the next 20 years. So in hearing those conversations, I would ask agency owners, hey, how did you go about starting your business? If I was to start an insurance agency, what do I need to do? So I was very curious and asking questions that as I was out in the field. And then also one of the things that encouraged me or drove me to open an agency was being out, because my territory when I was a marketing rep was Massachusetts. And being out, there was something that was consistent. One, most of the agency owners that I was meeting with, they were older white male and women. It was very few women that were in the industry that were agency owners as well. So I told myself, I said, huh. Maybe there is an opportunity for me to open an agency. I'm young. At the time, I was, approaching my 30s. I was in my early 30s. I said, okay, this is the best time for me to get started. What's the worst that could happen, right? I have no kids. I have no mortgage at this point, The best time to fail is now. The best time to fail is now. And of course, I hesitated a little bit because everyone is afraid of the unknown, right? So I hesitated a little bit, and after some times I gained the courage to just take the leap and open the agency. And once I opened the agency, the rest is history. And here we are 6 years later, 5, 6 years later.
Yeah, that's a cool story. And so basically, those calls were that call, it was warm. I guess it was warm leads, right? It wasn't cold calling per se, but they were angry because the thing had just kept
I
calling.
call them multiple times, and you have people cussing you out, cussing your mom, cussing your dad. And yeah, I mean, it was interesting. You know, it was interesting. I mean, obviously, I come from a very tough background, where, my mom was tough on us. So hearing someone cuss me, I wasn't anything to me. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry about that, but let's move on to the next thing, So
Yeah.
interesting for me.
Yeah, I can see you doing really well because you like your conversational nature, and I could see that that could really work for you. And there's a lot of producers who got to earn their stripes doing what you did in different ways. Sometimes it might just be commercial lines calling, or but you got to start somewhere, right? It is something that people aren't necessarily eager to call up and order, like an Amazon something on Amazon. They're kind of in defensive mode. How much is going to cost me? But interestingly, maybe you're seeing this too, that a lot of people want to hear more from their agent. They want to know about things that they're not insuring and things that can happen to them. It doesn't always mean they're going to buy a policy, but they appreciate the ask and the questions about risk management and loss control for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think also too, one of the things that I always look back, obviously, when you're going through the process, you don't think that these decisions that I'm making are the best decision. As an agency owner, one of the things that I can always look back on and say, I'm so glad that I moved in the industry the way that I did, right? Because having being worked on the producer side, and then also the service side, and then also going to the marketing side, I understand every aspect, or both aspect of the industry. I understand where carriers are, looking at when they come into the agency and they're talking about the type of clients they want. I understand what clients are talking about when they're telling me, hey, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z pricing. Or, hey, you know what? I may not need that right now, and things like that, right? So I understand both sides, and I'm always grateful that I was able to not only catch on quickly, but also tell myself, okay, don't be afraid of going on different sides of the business, because I think sometimes people, they get into service and they're afraid to go into sales. And they do sales for the rest of their lives. And sometimes you just never know what might happen. But I think also what helps is because I knew I wanted to own a business someday. And if I wanted to own a business, let me learn everything as much as I can so that if my employees come to me and tell me, how do I learn this? I've already done it, right? So I think that's where I was coming from. That's what my mindset was on at the time.
Okay, so you started your firm. What year did you start your firm?
I started November of 2019.
Okay, 2019. So, talk about your company and the kind of customers you have and sort of what how you carved out your space, how if and how you're different from competitors or other agents you've met across the country. The things you're doing for customers might be a little bit different, just the way your angle on this.
Basically, where we are now, I would say we're predominantly a commercial lines agency because most of our clients right now, our book is straddling between, I think I want to say 78% commercial lines right now at the agency. And of course, that was by design. And coming into the business, having been worked as a marketing rep, and also having worked in personal lines. There was nothing about personal lines that I enjoy. Other than, sometimes you have great clients that you're speaking with, but coming into commercial lines, I wanted to build a commercial lines agency because one, longevity, one, I also thought about long-term growth in a sense, right? So when I started the agency, of course, I did what everybody did in the beginning, right? You do want to get everyone into the agency, into the door to get a feel for, okay, these are the type of clients that I like. These are the type of clients that I don't like, right? So, what worked in my favor, even though the pandemic was a season that was tough when you were starting, it slowed things down for me, right? And allowed me not to grow too fast. And then also coming into owning an agency, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't growing so fast to the point that it was over my capacity, right? So I wanted things to slow down for me. I wanted to be able to make mistakes for me to understand how the business of insurance works. Because sometimes when you're a producer and coming into running a business, sometimes you don't understand that in owning an agency, you have the business side and you also have the producing side of the business. So the pandemic allowed me to slow down and not move too fast for me to understand the business side. And then once things settled down, I focused on the producing side of the business. So I started off, doing personal lines as much as everybody else. And then after some times, with the level of service, that goes into personal lines. I said, you know what? Let's just focus on commercial lines. So majority of our clients are commercial lines. It doesn't mean we turn away personal clients. If we don't have the market for them, hey, we don't have this. But most of our personal lines clients are our commercial lines clients as well. And I'm not in a hurry to say, okay, I want to fill this book with personal lines, but it doesn't mean things are not going to change in the future. Because I think when I say that, sometimes people look at it as, okay, I'm not interested in personal lines. It's just right now, I want to build the commercial arm of the business and make sure it's very firm before I focus on personal lines. But most of what we do is personal lines. In terms of niches, we're still trying to figure out what our niches are. Most of our clients right now are healthcare clients. And then nonprofits, those are the two that I would say is mostly on my book. And that's by design. Obviously, with my community, I'm heavily involved in my community. And most of my community members or community folks are in healthcare. Some are doctors, some own home healthcare agencies, or just something that's in the healthcare industry. So that's why most of my book is healthcare. And then some of them own, how do you call it, nonprofits as well. But we do have, but we don't have, other than these two, we don't have like more of, let's say, contractors or more of X, Y, and Z. And also, I go after niches that will perform well with the market long term, OPM, other people's money, client.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are really the clients that I go for. Clients that I know in the long run will be profitable and they're not canceling here and there.
Okay. So what did you so it was a brand new agency you started, right? You just started, was just yourself?
I started from scratch with my laptop and my phone.
Okay. And was it not a, did you not have an opportunity? I'm not saying this would have been better, but
Right.
to like buy a book or work with an agency owner who was near retirement and wanted to bring in somebody who could perpetuate internally that way, or you just wanted to, you didn't want to work for the male, pale and stale
Think that
world.
was the case. I don't think that was the case. I did try to work for someone, but the relationship tried to work for someone, and then as they retire, I will get the book. I
Yeah.
will buy the book from them, but that relationship just didn't go well. In terms of buying a book of business, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And if I can go back and start all over again, those are some of the things that I would change. But I think at the time I was just ambitious. Maybe I say overly ambitious, and I wanted to do this, and I was going to do it at all costs. And I wasn't looking at, okay, well, this is going to be labor intensive. Starting from scratch is going to be labor intensive. I didn't know that. But once I'm one of those people, once I put my mind to something, I would do it anyway. And that's what led to start from scratch. But again, if I go back and start over again, I would not be starting from scratch, okay?
Okay, I see. You know, it this is why I love the independent agent channel. I think it's so, it's first of all, it's a great business. You know this already. 7 years later, here you are, you know. But it there's so much opportunity, and I think they're all, we often read stories of agents who are struggling to retire and find a path out, and get out early enough, succession plan in place early enough so that it's not a fire sale and or somebody passes away and then the spouse is really in trouble. you hear that all the time, and it's a definite issue with boomers and older Gen Xs who are near retirement. So I love the stories, though, of your story, where it's like, this is a brand new opportunity.
Yes.
I think it's great. And I think there's a lot more of your stories out there than people realize.
Yeah, absolutely. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I always say, although I didn't start with the purchase arm of the business, I can scale by purchasing an agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities are endless. And like you say, people are retiring all the time. And, you know, there's either no succession plan in place or they're looking to sell and things like that. So it's not out of the picture for me. But I think one of the things that I appreciate about my story is that, and I always said this, within my age group, no one is really looking to do things the hard way any longer, right? And those are some of the things that I can appreciate about my story. Yes, I started off the hard way, but it's built a certain resilience in me that I can utilize in any aspect of my life. I mean, anyone who starts an agency from scratch and there's been, you know, they've passed that 5-year mark, there's something in you, right? You have something in you. There's some screw up there that's not either screwed on correctly or, you know, there's something up there. And I can appreciate my story now and really take a look at myself where we are now and say, wow, I remember when I spoke to my first client, right? Or I remember, you know, when I hit $100,000 in premium and things like that. So I can give those roadmaps on the journey and the process of how, you know, how the agency have started.
It's really cool. And if you ever have interest, and maybe you already know these guys at InsureBank, but they specialize in helping agencies buy books of business or other agencies. They're over, speaking of Connecticut, they're over in Hartford area. And all they do is loans and cash for independent agents, cash to buy producers, technology, you know, again, to grow. And so I'm a big fan. I've known those guys since the start when I was at the association myself, the National Big Eye. So they you know, what's great about them? Geez, this sounds like a terrible over-the-top plug, but they will talk with you like for an hour or 2 hours, just to hear your story, like you're telling us now, and give you some really good guidance. There's a real need for agents to take some chips off the table, older agents, whether it's a book or whether it's the whole firm. And there's these guys at InsureBank just have seen everything, and they can paint a picture of the future for the buyer and the seller, and it's really terrific.
Nice. Love that. I would definitely reach out.
Okay. So how did you, just a couple more questions on the start of this, because I think there's a lot of people listening saying, well, how'd you pull it off? What did you run into? What are some of the roadblocks you ran into maybe initially that first year? You mentioned COVID for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, on the carrier side, they were just reeling from how are we going to work,
yeah,
starting in March of 2020, which was shortly after you started. So their ability for the field reps to even talk with a new agent was challenging. So, it was slow, but there was still a need for people to have coverage.
Yeah.
What kinds of roadblocks did you run into, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah. So when I started, obviously, appointments have always been, you know, a new agent's biggest nightmare, right?
Yeah.
And COVID didn't help too, because no one was really looking to appoint anybody during COVID. But coming into it, I started off at a brokerage. Is it a brokerage or MGA? I think a MGA. Yeah,
MGA. MGA, yeah. Yeah.
I started off at an MGA that had access to other markets. And I think that's also what kept me in the business, or what made me hold on, because I had that access. And I worked with that MGA for a couple of years, placing business. I still place business through them. So I worked with that MGA until I got to the point where I was getting comfortable and more confident in asking carriers for appointments, because obviously at that time no carrier was going around looking to appoint agents. You have to be proactive in requesting for appointments, and it took a while, and there were all these requirements in place. And I think for those of us who were starting th through COVID, for me, I had my business plan together, and I was very articulate on how I was looking to grow this business, what the long-term picture for this business looked like, and where I saw the business in year five, in year six, and things of that nature. So in speaking to carriers, I mean, yes, there were some that were like, no, you're not ready. And I appreciate that. Like, looking back, I can say, okay, yeah, you know what? I probably wasn't ready for this carrier. But then there were some that saw the vision and they've stuck with me and they're still with me. And I'm growing through them as well. One of the earliest direct appointments were Progressive. I had a wonderful Progressive rep, James. He's no longer there. James appointed give me an appointment, so that really helped with me building my auto book of business. And then Chubb gave me an appointment as well, even though they at the time Chubb had really closed out a lot of the markets and things like that. But I still had access to them, right? And you having access to Chubb, it made everyone feel like, okay, well, if Chubb can give them an appointment, me too, I can give them an appointment as well. So having those two, and then eventually I got appointed with Markel as well on the workers' comp side. So I was good. I had the MGA that I was working with, and then when you came to direct appointments, I had Chubb, Progressive, and then Markel. So I was good for a couple of years, and then eventually I started adding carriers on and things like that. But really, my biggest hurdle was really that carrier appointment for the most part. And then also figuring out, okay, how do I get clients into this agency? Some of the misconceptions is that, okay, if you're popular in the community and you open your doors, everybody is going to come flocking to you to do business with you. That's not the case. You're dealing with money. And at that time, no one was really willing to open their wallet like that, right? So those are some of the challenges that I encountered at the time. But I was very persistent in making sure that I create visibility for myself in the community so that once things got better, people would know my agency and people would know my name and they would start wanting to do business with me.
So what kind of things were you doing in the community? You were joining groups, you were going out and speaking, you were non like charitable stuff.
So I was networking. I was going to at least three to four networking events a week. I was doing the Zoom networking events and things of that nature. And then also, I'm Liberian, so I'm very much involved in the Liberian community, as well, and just in the African community in total. I'm very involved in the community and just making sure. And then also in Boston, although my office is not in Boston, the inner city areas like Worcester and Boston, which are the two cities that are closest to me, I do a lot in the community. I do have a strong presence in the community and letting people know that, hey, I'm an agency owner, partnering with people, doing events and things like that.
Okay. So what was it about the carrier con 'cause you talked about this too at the Big Eye Legislative Conference about how the carriers were they you know they you're not ready now. So what are they looking for? 'Cause as people listen to this, they might have designs on starting their own firm as well. How did you get yourself ready to be ready for an appointment? Like now that you've been in this a while, you can kind of see.
And in the beginning, you think it's personal when a carrier is saying, like you're not ready or I'm not going to appoint you. You think it's a personal thing, right? And at the end of the day, everyone is looking at their bottom line. And the truth is, if you're a green agent, if you don't have certain level of experience, there is a certain side of this business you may never understand unless you go through those experiences, right? And one of those things is growing fast beyond your control, right? Because at the end of the day, a carrier can appoint you and you're just placing business, placing business, placing business, but you're not stopping to see, okay, what's going to be the loss ratio of all these businesses that I'm placing with this carrier, right? Or, okay, all these businesses that I'm writing, what's going to be the capacity? Like, do I have the mental capacity and the mental fortitude to handle this business? And before you know it, your clients are canceling left and right, and you don't have a strong retention with that carrier, right? And then also too, one of the things that comes with experience in this business is really understanding the business and the cycle that comes along with being in this industry, right? Understanding that if you don't understand that and you go and you sit in front of a carrier and they ask you, okay, why should I appoint you? Oh yeah, because I have a lot of business that I'm going to write, and you have to be able to tell them why they're a good fit for you, right? And I think also too, if anyone who's listening and they are looking to start a business, also you have to make sure that that carrier is a good fit for you as well, right? Because this is a mutual relationship, and it took me a while to understand that, right? Is a mutual relationship. And the last thing you want, every month someone is calling you, oh, you didn't place five business with us. They're threatening to cancel your appointment. One of the things that I wanted was one of the things that I understood coming into this business was, okay, how do I minimize my stress as much as possible, right? And me minimizing my stress was making sure that I work with carriers that were going to be patient with my growth level, right? Because there are some carriers that come and their first year request is just so much. You're like, and you ask yourself, like, am I going to be able to fulfill this? Make sure anyone that you're going after for an appointment or anyone that's coming after you for an appointment, that you have the flow, the business, you have the capacity to fulfill what they need, right? And for me, I was very particular about that. I wanted people who had similar vision as me when it comes to, community involvement, or someone who was patient enough to understand that, okay, she's growing, she may make mistakes. I don't need somebody to be calling her every month and telling her, hey, you didn't write 10,000, 20,000 with us, right? So I was very adamant about that. So anyone who's listening to this, look for those things, right? One, make sure you articulate where your business is going.
Yeah.
Articulate, okay, what you're doing to for loss prevention with your clients, right? It takes a while to understand that, but what are you putting in place for loss prevention? How do you plan on communicating with your clients so that every little claim is not being filed, right? Because all of these things impact your clients and it impacts your business, right? So these are some of the things that I understood. But then also again, when the carriers, again, you're still new in the business. This is me explaining in retrospect, right? This is
Sure.
right. But at the beginning, I would say some of the things that I did correctly was I knew my vision. I knew how to articulate my vision. And I knew how to go after carriers that share those same visions with me. Yeah. And I think that's what helps me.
You use the word patient a lot. That's your first name is patience. So it's a good mantra. I think everybody needs to be a little more patient in this world. I know when carriers, I was working at the association back in the 90s when carriers really were putting the hammer down on minimum premium limit requirements, and they were concerned about growth, and they did call agents a lot, asking for more. And I think the agents in return were looking for more flexibility, more patience, as you say. And give the agents time to get to where you want to be as a carrier. And that's assuming the carriers don't change their rules and what they're looking for, because they're
And it
dealing
changes
with
every time, right? You can
it
talk to
changes a
them,
lot, I know.
you can talk with them 1 month, and then the next month you talk to them, things have changed, right? And I think also too, one of the things that I'm also adamant about, if you're coming in to tell me to grow with you, what resources are you providing to me to make sure I grow at the speed that you want me to grow, right? These things don't happen overnight. How can you work with me to help me grow? So Those are some of the questions that I ask when anyone is, to be honest with you, I don't have anybody in my agency calling me to tell me, oh, you didn't do X, Y, and Z. Because, like I said, I was very selective about those that I was getting or requesting an appointment for. So I don't have that edit.
Yeah,
It's
that's
one
great.
of my yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna, I w well, I wanted to ask you how, from an age standpoint, a generation standpoint, your customers, are they, I have a theory, and it might have just been a book I read or something years ago, but that people tend to buy from others, roughly the, when they're around their age as well. So plus minus 5 years, I think the rule was, or the general rule, not in all cases, I mean, but people prefer to buy from people who look like them, who are kind of their rough age, who have shared values, that sorts of thing. If they're calling 1-800, you know, Geico or something, they may not even come into the picture. But you're in the community, you're local. Do you see that as well? Because I think that's why we need more younger people in the industry, because you have huge generations, but the millennials are huge, 93 million. Behind them is Gen X, ages right now, I think it's 14 or 13 to 30. There's another big one behind them as well. So we need more people in the community like yourself who they can learn from, buy from, be serviced by. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. And that was something that those were some of my challenges in the beginning, right? I was young, I was black, I was a female, and me going into commercial lines, and I always said this. At the end of the day, whether people accept it or not, there is that intrinsic bias, right? If someone is not being biased towards me because I'm black, there's that bias because I'm young. There is that bias because I'm a female, right? And then also too, when I was starting, most business owners are still men, right? Women are an emerging market. The women business owners are an emerging market. Right. So most of them were men. And the truth is, people like doing business with people, one that they like, right? Like you said, that they connect with and that they are close, because the stereotype is, oh, this young girl, what can she offer me? Like, what does she understand about this business? Right. Or what does she know about this business? And I knew that coming in. So I really took it upon myself to really learn about the business. And I took an interest in really learning contracts, right? Rarely do you have people reviewing people's contracts to know what's on your policy, like what's on your contracts, what's in your exclusions and what's not in your exclusions. Usually people look at the price tag, right? Like, okay, these are your coverages, this is how much it costs, and that's that, right? So coming into it, I knew that, okay, one of the things that I always say, insurance is an art and is a dying art. And the thing with art is you have to teach the younger generation how to paint, right? So for me, I understand that the level of I guess the level of passion that the older generation apply to being a producer, that is fading, right? That is fading. And for me, being an older soul, how can I tap into what the older generation are doing now that gave them that longevity, right? That made them last in business for 20, 40, 50 years to the point that they're passing it on to the next generation. Like, what about this business that made them stay in business for that long, right? So it was them learning about a policy. It was them opening that contract. To be quite honest with you, sometimes it's not really about the price. If you're a good agent or a good advisor, it's not about the price. Because if you can really sit down and tell someone, this is your contract, this is what's involved in your contract, and this is what you're getting, it's not about a price unless that person is really price conscious. So I've learned that. I'm learning that. And I feel like that's what helps me connect with the older generation when I'm looking to sell to them. I'm going to them as, okay, I'm educated on what this is about. My younger generation, they want to know, okay, what's the ease of doing business, right? Can I get online and get this done? Where, what's the easiest way that I can get this thing done, right? So in understanding that, it helps me service my clients. Although I don't have a lot of older people on my books, but I think as experience come into play, right? And also as visibility comes into place over time, I will gain access to that age group. But for now, most of my clients are people who are around my age. And like you said, give or take 5 years. But then also too, we're all growing together as business owners, right? So that I think that's really why we're all in the same bucket.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Yeah, reading the policy is something that it is a it's really necessary because a lot of agents will rinse and re repeat coverages if they're taking on a new client on a agents or agency of record or broker of record. It's sometimes it's apples and oranges with exclusions and endorsements, and especially in commercial lines, it can get really complex. But I'm afraid that a lot of them don't take the time. Now there's AI tools where they're becoming a lot easier now. There's several insurtechs who offer these tools that help, like just instantaneous comparisons. But yeah, you're right about that, and that's what an independent agent really does. It's be that advocate, you know. And you're talking, you know, price isn't the thing, but value is, right? The value that you're bringing is goes beyond just the price of the policy. Because if you want something really cheap, you can have cheap.
You can go anywhere. And that's what I tell people. My agency is not a cheap agency, right? We don't do cheap things at my agency because we're looking at the long run. So if you're not looking to come for us to really give you advice on how to prevent liability in your company, maybe we're not the best fit for you, right? Maybe we're not the best fit for you. And that helps us get rid of clients who shouldn't be part of our agencies, right?
Yeah.
Because it means, it's a problem with your E&O in the long run and things of that nature,
Yeah, they can go somewhere else, right?
somewhere
Yeah.
else.
All right, so let me run some quick questions by you. Ready?
Gotcha.
Have you over the years had some failures that you're like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me? One or more failures. I think it's a great question that a lot of professionals are reticent to answer because they feel like, well, it makes me look weak, or I screwed up, or maybe they're throwing an old boss under the bus, or you know, something happened. But I always, for me anyway, my philosophy is that when these doors close, other ones open, and you don't, at the time it seems so traumatic. But wow, yeah, and you're a risk taker, so I'm sure you've. But I'll let you talk.
I've had. And I always say that if I never got fired from my previous job, I would have never been an agent. I would have been comfortable. I still would have been in corporate, right? Because when you're in corporate and you're doing well and you're comfortable,
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to leave that and come to a place where you're looking at your bank account and it's dry in the beginning, especially in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So, the last position that I had, I was let go. Things didn't work out and I got fired and I cried. I took a month off and I cried. I thought my world had come to an end. I just thought I was a failure. And here I was thinking I was going to be with this company forever and it didn't work out. And honestly, it worked in my favor because if I had not been let go, like my friends always say that I'm so stubborn that sometimes God has to kick the chair from under me. God has to kick the chair from under me for me to be able to act. So I wouldn't have gained the courage to come and start this because the loss of that job was so severe that I felt like I want to be in a position that I would never be fired again.
There you
So,
go.
yeah. So when I started my agency, even during the tough stages during COVID, when nothing was working out, every time I think about it, I just kept on saying to myself, just hanging, like just hang on. It's only temporary. You're going to get through this. But me letting go at my previous job was really the catalyst for what made me want to open this agency and what has made me hang on to make sure, because coming in, I said, if you're going to do this, you have no backup plan. This is the
Yeah.
only, there's no backup plan. So yeah, that's me doing it
Okay.
without a
Yeah. Well, you did it. I think it's great. Now
yeah.
you're still a young professional, but would what advice would you give your younger self?
Yeah.
You're in school, you're in your 20s or your early 20s.
Yeah.
Any advice that you would want to share with yourself?
Yeah, I think if I can give myself any advice is to trust myself and not worry too much. I think I was a worried, young professional. I was always thinking too far out in the future. Brought some worry onto me. It's to tell myself just relax, like don't worry too much. Like everything will work itself out eventually. But I just worried too much. I was always up at night thinking like what the next 10 years, what the next 20 years looked like. And if when I look at the path and it just doesn't look an inch closer to what I was looking at, I would just be so worried and and would keep me up at night. So I would tell myself like patience, calm down, like just calm down. Everything is gonna be okay. Yeah, that's the advice that I would give to myself.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Do you have any daily habits or habit that keeps you sharp?
Yeah, so well, I'll talk about what I'm doing now. What I'm doing now for my daily habits is really doing my best to put the phone away when I say I'm out of work. Right. And just taking that time to bring like for my brain to clean down. Because with what we do, it's so labor intensive and it's so intense on your brain that you need that downtime towards the end of the day. In the beginning stages, I was working so late at night. I would be working at 2 or 3 in the morning, and it was taking its toll on me. So now my practice, once I'm out of work, by 6, 7 o'clock, I put the phone away and I just do things that's not causing me to think so much. Because I do all the thinking during the day. So that's helped me and it helps me become sharp and things like that. And of course, reading and keeping track with what's going on in the industry.
Yeah, putting the phone away is good. I read this really good book by Jonathan Haidt, Haidt. I think I mentioned it in other episodes. And it's called The Anxious Generation. And the anxiety is being caused by the phone. And it starts in preteen and teen for especially young women, but also young men. And it's devastating the effects. How people treat each other online, and what's missing is experimentation, failure, unstructured playtime outside with others, and it being replaced by the screen, which is more dangerous than anything that could happen to you in a playground. It's a really excellent book, but in general, what you said made me think of that. It's like I think as consumers here in the States anyway, we have way too much phone time. Now, some of it's the phone allows you to do business at 6 or 7 p.m. when in the not too distant past, probably what 20 years ago, we didn't have phones. And at 5 o'clock, the agency shut the doors, and that was kind of it, unless it was 1-800 claims. So now work's being carried into the evening, and I think it's bad. I think what you're doing is exactly good for your health, your mental health, and also your physical well-being, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it started to be bad, and then also too, like you start to create this f false sense of competition because now you're on your counterpart's website and you're looking at the things that they're doing and all the awesome things that they're posting online, and you're not doing the same, and then you're constantly comparing yourself to people, like oh my gosh, what are they doing that I'm not doing? A little bit of competition is good, but if you're constantly waking up and that's all you think about, it's not good for your health. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, last question, Patience. And again, thank you for all your time. It's a great story. Do you? I know, you told your younger self, don't worry so much. But are you your current self? Are you thinking what's down the road for you? You got 7 years under your belt. What are you thinking? What's What's the future look like for your agency?
Yeah, so there's a few things that's on my desks. Let me start with personally, I do want to go back and get my master's degree. Sometimes people think I have a master's. I'm like, no, I'm just operating off of a bachelor's degree. But I do want to go back and get my master's. I've been looking at a few programs. One at Yale, they have a insurance master's program there that I've been taking a look at. But I'm looking for a program that will be tailored towards an agency owner. Help me double down on, owning an agency and just solidifying like the process of owning an agency. So I've
Maybe
been looking.
an MBA.
Yeah, an MBA. Yeah, I've been looking at that, but they actually have like a specific master's program geared towards insurance. So
Excellent. Yeah.
with them about that. I'm not 100% sure yet because the cost of the program, but the cost is the only thing that's making me pause a little bit. But I've been taking a look at that and other programs as well. And then in terms of the agency, it's to really double down on, making our agency strong in the sense of the commercial production, and just taking some professional classes, like my CIC certification and eventually the CPCU certification and things like that. So those are some of the things that's sure.
Well, again, thank you for joining us, Patience. It's a great story, and I know we'll be seeing a lot from you, hearing from you around the industry down the road. But I think you need to work on you're a little too shy, I think.
I'm working on that.
Just kidding. Just kidding. That's the least of your issues. No, shyness is not in your name. But no, it's great. I really excited. I'm excited for you. It's great to hear this story. And if folks can reach you on what's your URL again? We'll just
Yeah,
for the website.
so on all my social platforms, you can find me at Patience Noah Insurance. And then my website is www.patiencenoahins.com. And then LinkedIn, if you just search Patience Noah, you should be able to find me.
Great. See your smiling face. Yeah.
Yes, my smiling face. That's my signature, the smile.
It's great. Yeah. Okay, my friend. Well, thank you. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Peter. Have a great day.
You too.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.